Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, February 22nd, 2023. Chair
Steve Poe. I'm here.
Vice Chair Becky Quintero.
Here.
Commissioner Robin McGargle.
Here.
Commissioner Asu Navarrete.
Here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. And Commissioner Munoz Getsy. She's not.
All right. Thank you very much. The next thing on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from January 25th. Does anybody have any additions or corrections or anything to the minutes? I believe, if I remember correctly, Diana sent out something with some small corrections. Yes.
Small changes.
Yeah. So let me advise changes on the motion.
All right. It's been moved. And do we have a second to that? It's been moved and seconded. We'll accept the minutes from January the 25th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Please show that it was unanimous. And the next item is the call of the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to three-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Diana, do you have anybody who has asked to speak?
Not previously, and I don't see anybody on here that would like to speak this afternoon.
Okay. We'll wait just 30 seconds or so. If there's anybody that is on the video that wants to speak, I seem to have much of anybody responding, so I'm guessing that on along. Okay, item number four is the landscape service vendor. Mike, would you take this one, please?
Yes. So I actually made a portion of the contract, not the entire contract, but my intent was just to review basically the two different forms of services that we request. One is a mow only. And basically, that's covered on the scope of work and how many days a week and the different seasonal. We have two seasons. One, in the wintertime, they're only mowing once a month. And they deal with the weeds in that park by doing mostly free emergent. We're not really spreading any free Roundup on our turf right now. And then the other one is the all-inclusive. And then in the summertime, they're mowing once a week versus once a month. And again, mowing contract version of this is if it's a mow-only park, they're only taking care of the mowing in that park and the weed control in the turf area, not the landscape area. So, for instance, and I put a picture of Jacob's Park in here in the back, and you can see all they're responsible for. That didn't come out very well. But all they're responsible for in that area is just the turf. Now, mowing it and the weed control in that area and trimming up fencing and trees in the turf area. So around Little League fields, things like that. And then the second part of the contract, which is probably 65% of our contract, is all-inclusive. So the reason, the way we separate inclusive versus mow-only is if it has a restroom at all, it becomes mow-only because we service all the restrooms throughout the city for parks. So no park would have, like Connor Park, that does have a restroom, so that would be mow only versus Herrera Park's only has no restroom, so it's inclusive. So, does that make sense?
So, they only mow the lawn, that's it.
And there's a restroom there, correct?
No, we have no restroom.
So, they should be taking care of everything. So that's what I laid out.
So what is everything, in your mind, what is everything?
Everything is, and it's actually in the contract. It's trash removal, it's weed abatement, tree trimming up to 7 feet, and so I'll read it.
Everyday trash.
They go to the park once a week, and then our staff is to follow them on the opposite. So they give us a schedule. Let's say they're doing Herrera Park on Tuesday. We go on Thursday or Friday. So the park should be hit twice a week. If there isn't, if it's not being taken care of, our staff should note that and contact the contractor. Now, one of the things that, you know, Lara and I discussed, we are in the process. We actually appointed a new superintendent. And currently, I've been managing the mowing contract where Mr. Mendez used to manage that with staff. So we are going to have help managing it. But it is actually on our staff and our supervisors to make sure they're doing a job. So, I mean, yeah, it's on them, but it's also on us to manage it and make sure they're doing a job. And I can read an inclusive, make too many pages here, but I wanted you to be able to see how detailed we tried to be when we put this together. So all-inclusive will include mowing, weeding, tree protection, litter removal, required site raking as needed, weed control, maintenance of plant materials, picnic areas, remodels, pre-emergent, and then they're also responsible to reporting to us issues such as irrigation leaks, graffiti abatement, playground equipment that may be damaged, and storm and accident damage. So that's the thing, is they're not responsible for graffiti, but they need to let us know what's going on. So we can go into a whole lot more detail, and I gave you the written part of that. And then I actually, my maps didn't come out very well. I hope yours did. Well, you can see the difference between, and then I put a price sheet for Jacobs. For the Jacobs compound, and then we made the two maps for Limberlost, which is an inclusive, all-inclusive park, and then Jacobs, which is a mowing. So you can see the difference of what their responsibilities are in each park. And then I actually included a price page sheet. You see, this is our monthly rate. This is what we pay them. Now, the other thing that is included in what we do, our staff, is it's in Cartograph. We have an asset management and a work order system called Cartograph. And our guys, every one of our groundskeepers and parks maintenance coordinators and supervisors have a phone. We give them a phone. And they get tasks sent to them on their phone. So they could be in the field. And, for instance, Paul Lopez has an issue at Herrera Park that he heard from us. He can shoot it to his staff and run it over and take care of it. So we do track their performance in Cartograph as well as our own. So, and then the other thing I would recommend is if you're having any issues with any of our staff, do a C-Click fix. There's a way for anybody to report issues in our parks. Robert Ebright, who helps us with he's our planner scheduler. He manages the Cartograph, and he will send out those tasks. So we get a C-Click fix or a sidewalk or a tree down, like we had it today. We had a tree with the storm come down at Reed Park right by the performance center. So we had something going on this weekend, so we actually got on it today and got it removed. So because of a C-Click fix that came to us. So
that's cool.
That's another opportunity for people to report issues in our parks.
And not you. Yeah. Like you would, I can't call in. I know that I can see that. I was like,
oh, you make much to do.
Yeah, I would highly recommend C-Click Fix or contacting our staff directly. And we, you know, Miguel Lopez and Robert Ebright, our planner scheduler, our traffic team.
Click Fix on the website? Is that what it's on?
C-Click Fix. It's an app on your phone.
Correct.
Yeah.
You can tell me over.
I actually never used it because I don't know how to use the
fish.
But maybe we need a lesson on On See Click Fix.
There you go.
I have a question about See Click Fix, Jen. That is, when you send something in, such as graffiti, approximately how long should you wait before you report it again?
You know, I guess it should be within 48 hours for graffiti. Mm-hmm. If it's severe and it's distasteful, we'll try to get to it quicker.
Okay, now my next question is, does that apply to places that the city uses but doesn't own, such as the top park next to the pool at Catalina High School? I sent in something to See Click Fix months ago about graffiti on the poles that are holding up the academy.
The playground, that's us. That should have been taken care of.
Okay, well, it's still there several months ago. So you might want to have them check out the poles and see if they can remove the graffiti.
And you did that on See Click Fix?
Yes, I did. They're sending me updates of anything else that's reported in the area. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's...
They haven't gotten around to that.
Once you get in, you can get proximity.
That's true. Okay, just thought I'd check. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Becky, do you have any questions or anything else about...
No, I'm happy with all this information, so thank you. Now I know what I can do. It's
And you have my email as well. So.
Yeah, well, I'm in the park every day because I adopted the park at the beginning. And so I maintain as much as I can. Other than that, you know, I just, and the bike trail behind it. So,
you personally.
Which park is this?
Mental Head in a Junior Park. That's my dad. So that's what I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in that.
All right. Did you have anything else, Becky, on this, or Mike? Did you have anything else on this?
Just unless there's any questions.
Not that I want. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay, she wants to know if you guys can resend her the email because she's having glitches and she's not able to get on. She just called right now. Thank you. You're welcome.
All right, let's go on to item number 5, which is the renaming of Christopher Columbus Park. And, Luz, I believe that was your request.
Yes, it was. This is Asul speaking. So would I share my screen? How would this work?
If you have something to present, you can share your screen. Diana just hit stop sharing.
Okay, you should be ready.
Awesome. One second. This is my first time using Microsoft Teams and needing to share my screen, so apologies for the delay.
If you don't see your screen, just click where it says more screens and it'll show you more. If you have like 4 or 5 tabs open.
Okay. Yeah, so is it the open?
It's the little arrow next to the leave, yes, the little screen with the pointed arrow pointed up, right next to where it says leave.
Doesn't seem to be working. So sorry. 1 second. It says open share tray, but it doesn't show anything on the tray.
We have the document open that you want to share.
I'm sorry?
Is the document that you want to share already open on your screen?
Yes, it is. Let me see.
Where? And do you see where it says share on the button? Like the button share, do you see that?
Mm-hmm. It says close share tray. Or would I click on more options? No.
Okay.
Oh,
Here's another option. Is there any way you can quickly email it over to Diana and we can try opening it on our end? Or can you move up and go to my office?
Yeah, we can do it.
If you put it in the chat?
Yeah.
Am I able to email it to Diana?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to email it. Yeah, so sorry about that. I'm not too sure how to.
We've all been through this.
Oh, boy. I can't do it at all.
Yeah. COVID-19 taught us how to help each other out on all this. But don't worry about it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It should be... Should have sent.
Okay. Give us 1 minute. We're going to log in to our chat here.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Next slide.
Only so many people. Something else to bother.
Go back.
Email address. I'll email.
Fire.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah. It's cold out.
We're good. That's right. It's cold in here. I know. Why is the air blowing in here? The air conditioning on is on in here. It is blowing right through here.
It was hot this morning.
Let's see the juice from.
I came in the
set. That was me. That you don't put that because he can't see the screen.
I'm sure it's just a donut.
No, we should.
One time I saw it called her father. I mean,
twice.
Oh, she'll say she can.
Oh,
and it was my 7 inches of snow. Yummy. Yes.
No, it hasn't come back yet.
Can you try sharing it in the chat and we can just open it?
Yes.
There you go.
Did it work, or should I still try to send it on the chat?
It hasn't come through on the email yet, but if you could drop it in the chat, then we can try opening it up from there. That's a good idea, Sarah.
Sounds good.
Can we see Manon? Welcome, hey, Manon. There.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Cox Cable, and I guess I just never got a link for this meeting for some reason. Continue. Sorry about that.
Okay, we're trying to, just so you know, we're on item number 5. We're just trying to help Missoula out with getting her document to share.
Yeah, so this presentation is only through slide 1 through 5.
She did through Teams. Did you see the message thing pop up?
Do you want me to share my screen?
There you go.
Yes.
Hold on. Greg's trying to work it out. Let's not have too many hooks in this pot. If we can't get it done, then we'll have Sarah share. There we go. Okay, give us 1 second so we can.
Oh, wow.
So you said how many? The first 5?
Yes, the first 5.
Okay, hold on. We're just.
We're almost there.
We're so close.
Awesome.
We can see it. We just need to get everybody to see it. That's all.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Greg's our team's expert. Donnie is also a team's expert, which is why she gets on.
Windows 4. Put them.
And Sierra, just stop it.
There
Sierra has some problems. Okay, can you see it now, Angel?
Yes, yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay, I am ready to start. Awesome. Well, Piali, a mis Francisco Nevaniolke, no tan sin Pati, no tan sin Omar, Manotonka, una barreta valera, y Chane Navarrete Valila, Napolito Chica. Hello, everybody. My name is Asunda Barreta Valera, and I introduce myself in my native language. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge the land. On, which is Autumn and Yaqui Land, and I would like to give thanks to the Parks and Recreation Commission for allowing me the space to speak about renaming Christopher Columbus Park. Awesome. Well, let's get into it. We can go into slide 2.
Okay, 1 second. We're trying to increase the sound because you're a little muffled.
Oh, muffled?
Wait. No, you're okay. Just give us 1 second. We heard what you said, but to make it a little easier, go ahead.
Everybody else could mute.
Okay.
So go to slide 2 for
her. Awesome. Yes, slide 2.
There you go.
Thank you so much. So for many years, the United States has honored and remembered Christopher Columbus and has seen with the many monuments, parks named after him and memorial throughout the country. And in school, we learned about Christopher Columbus, a man who discovered America, and how in 1492, Columbus sailed across the ocean blue, and how he civilized the people who were on this land and made this country the great America we know today. Though the perspective of indigenous people is often neglected and ignored as it shares the history of Columbus stealing and exploiting this land, as he created mass genocide and the enslavement of the Arawak people of America. And for many years, the United States has honored and remembered Christopher Columbus, even with all of these things that he has done and contributed to America. We can move on to the next slide. John F. Kennedy once said, "A nation reveals itself not only by the men it produces, but also by the men it honors, the men it remembers." And by having the park named Christopher Columbus, it glorifies the man who started the mass genocide of our indigenous people, the abuse towards indigenous women and children, and the man who began the cycle of conquering our land and forcing indigenous peoples onto reservations. Throughout time, Christopher Columbus's actions have been extremely normalized to where we name a park to praise his existence. And by having the park named Christopher Columbus, it glorifies and honors an individual whose actions have and has continued to destroy Native families. Due to his actions and his legacy, his name is a trigger to many indigenous people. Although some may say that this did not happen to our generations or to our tribes, his name itself is a subtle reminder that we, indigenous peoples, were not supposed to be here. The public park being named Christopher Columbus is uninviting and unwelcoming to many indigenous families, as his name holds severe historical trauma. Okay, we can move on to the next slide. Okay, I would like to talk about a man who is named Danny Lopez. For generations, Danny Lopez was an elder, protector of traditional Tohono O'odham knowledge, culture, and language, and who's made an impact on indigenous youth throughout Tucson and the Tohono O'odham Nation. He often visited Hushan Preparatory School to teach about culture and do storytellings and really engage with youth. Being part of Tucson Native Youth Council, a co-sponsor of Tucson Native Youth Council has taken us to Unity, a conference in San Diego. And she shared with me that before going into the ocean, one must give an offering as respect. And later on, I think 2 years later on, she had mentioned that Danny Lopez actually taught her that and other youth as well when she was in high school. And with him sharing that information and knowledge about traditions, she was able to share that with me, as I'm going to be able to share that with other children after my generation. So things like this, like this rippling effect he has created on Indigenous youth. Danny Lopez was a very well-known man throughout Tucson's Indigenous community. Council member Lane Santa Cruz and Antonio Ramirez have previously spoken to the Pascua Yaqui Council and were very supportive of naming the park after him. And many members, including the chairman, knew him very well. We have also a lot of support from Ophelia Zepeda, a Tana'atam poet and a professor, who has said that Danny Lopez was a lifelong friend of hers. And when he passed away in 2008, the Tana'atam chairman, Ned Norris Jr., even published a statement honoring the life and the legacy of Danny Lopez. It is only right that we name a park that is on Tana'atam land to be named after a Tana'atam elder who has dedicated his life to keep alive culture and traditions that were attempted to be erased by Columbus and his men. At Indigenous Peoples Day last year, I was invited by Alianza Indígena Sin Fronteras and received 137 signatures of people who are in support of renaming the park to Danny Lopez Park. After sharing about the efforts of renaming this park on social media, there are now more than 300 signatures of supportings and counting. With this said, I would like to make a motion to rename Christopher Columbus Park to Danny Lopez Park. And we can move on to the next slide. Thank you so much, Paso Camati, and there is my contact for those who don't have it. And yes, I would like to open it up to discussion.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
This is Robin Asu. I'd like to thank you for your presentation and honor all the work that you put into that presentation. I know there's further discussion, but I'm looking forward to seconding your motion to rename Christopher Columbus Park to honor Danny Lopez.
That was a second, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's been moved and seconded. Now it is open for discussion. Do any of the members of the commission have any questions or comments? I do want to ask Laura to give us the lowdown of what the process is, but exactly. If you have anything else.
Yeah, sure. So certainly the commission can use to support the recommendation. However, by what is in the code, there is a process that we have to get a written communication, it can be an email as well, that starts what is called the public process for renaming of any asset, be a park or a physical attribute in a park, right? What then happens is there's a 45-day public input process where we post it on our website, and Sierra will jump in and correct me, but we've done this now twice, so I think I've got it. And the instructions that are posted on the website is that a written, a mailed communication must be sent into the department addressed to myself. I collect all that communication, and then at the end of the 45-day process, then a mayor and council agenda item is done and it's put on for mayor and council to review, and then they ultimately have the authority to approve or deny. It's not something that I can approve or deny. If today you choose to support it, then that would be included in the language about it. And we would basically say in advance of the 45-day process, the commission received the presentation, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't hope that's clear enough.
I think so. The only thing that I would ask about is if we do decide today to support this and the information is sent in the 45-day period opens, it would still come back to us for a ratification, would it not?
Yeah, what we can do, just like we did with the Linda Ronstadt and Alba Torres and the Mayor Rothschild Greenway, is we did put it on the agenda so you were aware that it was going to be going to mayor and council. So yeah, that would be part of the timeline as well.
I think I understand.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments?
Does the surrounding community, was it an approval? I mean, did they support it as well? Of the neighboring of the park, is there anybody?
So we as a department have been engaged. I don't know if Azul, if you can speak to that. The question is whether any of the neighboring community of the park itself has been involved in input.
The neighboring community, such as Ward 3?
The ones that surround the park.
The neighborhoods around the park.
Right. We have not really canvassed around that neighborhood or really have gone over there, but we have had over 300 signatures of Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people who are in support of this name change.
I would think personally that as a person who is an officer in a neighborhood association, that it would be to your benefit to take that to the neighborhood associations around there and get their agreement before running it up the flagpole and seeing what happens. I think that would be instrumental in cutting back any animosities and things like that if the neighborhood associations were aware of it beforehand.
Okay.
Is
this the first request to name this system? This has come up before.
Particular park, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I believe there was an outreach probably 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
There was to be named Indigenous People Park or something. So I don't know if that ever got off the ground or not. But
there was a lot of conversation that came from that.
There, I do want to know, there is a hand up. So Antonio, who's from Ward 1. Antonio? Yeah.
Hi, so a few years back, there was actually neighbors from the surrounding area that had met, trying to push to have the park renamed. And the, what's interesting is it's right along the border of Ward 1 and Ward 3. So the park is actually in Ward 3, but most of the neighbors, next to the park are in Ward 1. So they were coming to us to initiate these conversations, and it ended up getting routed to Ward 3. And out of those conversations, there was a shared understanding that people, it would be better to have people from the Indigenous community lead this effort. And so at that point, we had approached the Tucson Native Youth Council with the Ward 3 council office at the time. And that's how these conversations got initiated with Azul, who was the co-president at the time. And also, there's not an active neighborhood association next to the park that I'm familiar with. I think there's an HOA, but the neighbors that were pushing, it was a pretty big group of them. And I think we have a list of emails that we can use to reach back out to them.
My understanding is that the city on some website that I haven't seen has a list of about 148 neighborhood association contacts. So I would certainly go that route to try to find those and see if anybody responds from the neighborhoods that are either directly around it or very close, say, you know, like half a mile away or less, that kind of thing, to see whether there's anybody who would take it to their associations to get the pass through.
The only thing that I failed to mention, which Sarah reminded me by putting into the chat, part of the policy related to this is that there has to be a manner of addressing the cost of the renaming. Because for the renaming, you're going to have new signage and how that is going to be addressed.
Good thought. Yes. Okay. So, Azul, does that give you some idea of what might need to be done before this goes further?
Yes, I have one more question, too. I have the letter of approval from Daniel Lopez's family. Who would I send that to, and how would that move the process? How would that move the process up forward?
So what I would recommend is when you're ready to trigger the formal request that then starts the 45-day process, that you put a package together with everything that you've mentioned so far. The letter, the signature. However, I do recommend that if there are additional people that are willing to put into writing their support, then have them submit that as part of the 45-day public process, because that would be then us following that, what's been outlined, in order to get that kind of support documented and on record to put into the package for mayor and council.
Okay, so document the people who have signed in support of this renaming the park, and also the letter of approval from the family. Is that correct?
Yeah. So what you've told us so far, so just so we baseline it, what you would be submitting would be your letter of recommendation for renaming, or request of renaming. And then to that, what you have in existing in your hands right now. So the letter from Mr. Lopez's family, and the petition or the signatures that you've acquired. At that point, we then put a public notice out of a 45-day process for public input, and anybody from the city of Tucson can write in whether they're in support or not in support of the renaming. That's part of the process. So at that point, I collect all that communication that comes in, and at the end of the 45-day process, we would then come back, one, to the commission, and two, coordinate an appointment or agenda item for the next agenda that we meet the window. There's like about a 6-week window in advance to get that on the agenda. So we would schedule that to occur, and then it would proceed. And then it will be up to mayor and council, based on whatever I've collected at the time, your original communication, for them to decide if they're in support of the renaming or not.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that does help.
And what you just said, it comes back to the commission and then goes. So I'd like to take the commission out of that process by approving it today so that it can continue. Before, this has been on the table a long time, and it certainly is not the first park or facility statue with Christopher Columbus's name on it that has been renamed. So I'm just hoping that we could just, in support of it today, it can move on without coming back to the commission.
Without coming back to the
commission? Yeah, yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out how we are all going to be in the loop and informed about all of this.
After the public process?
Yes, yes. Without it coming back to us, how will we know that these hoops have to jump?
I see. So instead, so you want to get on the public process and for input first? That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't have any problem in endorsing this proposal, but as far as formally passing it to send on to the city council, I think that should wait until we actually have all of that documentation, because they're not going to do it without all that anyway.
So could we, in the paper, in the statement that you sent forward, I like that idea, Steve, that could there be an endorsement?
So what will happen is in the mayor and salt the communication document that gets it on the agenda, we would include in there what the commission has elected to do or voted on.
Because the commissioner brought this forward.
once again.
Right. We would tell, basically that allows us to tell the story. We would probably put together, and I would lean on Azul to help me put together kind of a profile on Mr. Lowfest, the reason why this is being recommended, what feedback we got from the public through the 45-day process, what was the stance of the Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission, and then for them to do their job. You know, their aspect of it.
And please don't forget about the, if there are any neighborhood associations, to preempt any possible problems before it gets to that stage.
The challenge you have, not challenge, but you do have a motion on the table right
yes,
now. You have to make a decision on that.
That is correct. There is a motion on the table. Does anybody else have any other comments or questions? Robin, your motion?
I have a quick question.
Oh, okay.
She made a motion. As far as the cost goes for naming the change, is there like a number that she has to raise in order to help support the signage?
I mean, we can probably find out. So Sierra can help us in turn.
I put the link in the chat. So on our website, we have the naming and dedications page. To name a park, it's $10,000, and the cost, they cover any signage, monuments, plaques, markings, et cetera, that will display the name, cost for installation of the above, event dedication costs, administrative fees, improvements to the asset being made prior to the dedication, maintenance or replacement of signs, monuments, plaques, markings, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right.
Hold on. As soon as possible. Well, hold on. Manon has her hand up.
Oh, okay.
Hey guys, yeah, this was a great presentation. Thank you very much. While I understand that a lot of Columbus stuff is coming down very quickly and it's not the first time, I'm also not a huge fan of skipping stages because I've been on the receiving end of that in my community. So I just like to agree with Steve on a lot of what he said here. I'd like to see this, and I don't understand if this is going to come back to us or not, or how we're going to get this information. That was a little confusing. Could someone clarify? If we did, we tend to like, yeah, we think this is a good idea. Let's get this started and rolling. What happens after that? Could we clarify that?
Diana can email our internal parks and recreation process and procedure, but there's an item in there where TPRC will review the information from the request and public comments and make a recommendation to mayor and council. So then we have five other steps below that based on what the recommendation is and how that moves forward. So Diana can send that out to you guys.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We still have a motion on the floor. Azul, do you want to go ahead with your motion? Would you like us to vote on the motion now, or what would you like?
Yes. How about we vote on the motion now on the efforts of renaming Christopher Columbus Park? I'm not too sure if my language is correct or not. If so, if it isn't, please correct me.
I believe it's okay.
Because I think it was a motion to rename it. So I think it's more along the lines of a motion to support
the renaming, support the renaming process.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So to support the renaming process is basically what we're voting on today.
Okay. Yes. I would like to make a motion of supporting the renaming of Christopher Columbus Park to Danny Lopez Park.
The process itself, yes. Okay.
Are you good with that?
Yes, yes, I'm okay with that.
And the second has accepted that, so I think we're ready now. Is there any further discussion? All right, I don't see any hands. Oh, Manon, is your hand? Oh, never mind. Okay. All right, so all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It appears to be unanimous. Thank you very much, Azul.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number six, Santa Rita Park Project. Timeline. Who's that one?
That'd be me, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Go for it.
So we actually met with the landscape architect this morning just to hone in to make sure we have them doing design work based on what we think we can afford to do in phase one. So we're looking at that design process to take about 6 or 7 months. So that would take us into August or September. At that point, we would submit for permitting to the city. That's roughly a 3-month process, which takes us basically to the end of the calendar year, December, January time, right? Then we would go into a 60-day period where we would put it out for bid, get bids, and award those bids. That's about a 60-day process, so that takes us about a year from right now. And then we would be starting construction within 30 to 60 days after we've awarded that contract to the bid. So we'd be looking at sometime in March, April 2024 to actually start construction for the project.
Okay.
What did phase one entail?
Phase one, I wish I had the map out. I'll do my best to describe it, is creating kind of that central plaza area that was envisioned, which included a splash pad, new playground, restroom, it closes Third Street for that one block between 22nd and I hit the next street up. Then it redoes all the irrigation on the athletic field, the demos, the pools. Puts new turf in where the pool area is, so that area becomes kind of a multi-purpose area, and then it upgrades the lighting on the three fields to LED.
Oh, there's the map.
There's the
turf. Oh,
look at that. Well,
thank you, Sierra Bellevue. It does not include, because based on the cost estimate we're projecting for what I just described, it does not include putting shade over that basketball court. Does not include the dog park, and does not include any improvements on the far east side, which is that parking lot and the maintenance facility and that new restroom between the two fields. So,
or the skate park.
Or the skate park, that's correct.
Okay, so that is phase one. Or
that's we likely want to bid some of these as bid alternates. He's projecting us closer to $5 million. Or in the $3 to $4 million, but the idea is design a little bit more, and we can bid some of those things as alternates. And if we're getting good bids, we'll get more than we'd hope for. If bids come in a little tough, then we'll be able to do is pay
things. Phase one. Oh, there's phase one. Good. Thank you. All right.
Oh, question.
Good summary. Yep.
Questions or comments?
Pretty.
All right. Greg, did you have anything else on that?
I did not.
You did not. All right. Thank you very much. If I remember correctly, Manon wanted some information about, I don't have it in front of me, about how it's being, how the homeless are being handled in this situation. Is that correct, Manon?
Yeah, Steve, thank you for bringing that up. There is a very large homeless population in that park, and Casa Maria is right down the road on Third Street, and they go back and forth to that soup kitchen. And I heard some stuff that wasn't great about getting that park cleaned up for the Gem and Mineral Show during very cold weather and some people not surviving. So I would very much like to know how this is all going to be handled, within the community. Thank you.
Sure. Good question. Thank you. When we get to that 60-day window and we are going to put the project out to bid, I mean, it's going to take us 60 days to get the bid out, the bids back, we award the contract. That's when we'll network with the Housing and Community Development Department and start reaching out to the folks that are using that park on a regular basis, and as well as the user groups, let them know that we anticipate closing the park likely March, April 2024 when we start construction. So we'll give people a 45 to 60 day heads up that, hey, construction's coming. At that point, we'll be close to the park and we'll work with our housing department to do any relocations if might be necessary.
Does that give you the enough information that you wanted, Manon?
Yeah, so how is TE, I mean, Tucson Police Department is clearly going to have to be involved because these, you know, how is the Parks and Rec Commission going to be working with the Tucson Police Department in this matter?
So TPD would not be taking the lead on this work. We would be working primarily with Brandy Champions Group, which is Housing First, as well as the Community Safety, Health and Wellness Director, which is Sarah Lanius. So recently we needed to do some work in the park. They started doing engagement in leading up to that one day that we needed to close the park 3 weeks in advance. And we're constantly going out. From what I understand, they were alternating their care counselors going out to the park. So 3 to 4 times each week, somebody was there to talk about assistance that was available and trying to provide opportunity for people to offer housing or temporary housing and offer other assistance. So TPD wouldn't really get any sort of engagement in all of this, and so I would anticipate the week leading up to actual closure just to help. And in some cases, if it's needed, then we would also provide the assistance for those that may have bigger items to be relocated to help them to move somewhere that can accommodate them. So it's not going to be an overnight thing. Like, that's why Greg was saying 60 days out would give us the best window of doing repeated engagement and trying to encourage folks to make a different option than Saturday.
I really appreciate that. Some of those people are pretty entrenched there, and I think TPD was involved in some of the other things I had heard about. Is there an opportunity for a commissioner to come down and help out with that, or, you know, somehow be involved in the process, or just, you know, watch the process at any point? I would be happy to do that.
So since those are not, they don't report to me, what I can do best is, whether it be through Amaris, who is now our intergovernmental, I can't remember her full title, but she it leads our homeless task force meetings on Thursday. So I can bring up that you're interested in either volunteering or at least being able to observe what that engagement process is like. I know both Sarah's group, which is the community health and safety wellness side, and Brandy's group do take periodically people out with them to different locations that they're actively working and trying to encourage a housing option, you know, with whether it be a Wildcat or a shelter. So I could definitely let them know that you have that interest and see how they can connect you into it.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Yeah, that I'd appreciate that. Thank you. My uncle lives on 3rd there, right next to Casa Maria, and I've known that neighborhood a long time, and I've worked with Pima, Primavera Men's Shelter, off and on. So yeah, I would really appreciate that. I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
I think as we get closer to that time, that it would be beneficial for you to just mention it to the group in case anybody else is interested in joining that.
Sure. And, I mean, I will also offer, because I know that they have put this on the table, if you're not familiar with the Wildcat location, that's a hotel that the city took over, I want to say 55 residents are able to transition from living in the street to living into that location to then the ultimate goal, which is transitioning into more permanent housing. If you're interested, I could see if there's a way to set up a date of a tour for the whole commission to join in and go. I've been talking to them about trying to do something for staff. Maybe we could do a merge tour. I've heard it's a really powerful experience and a good way of seeing one of the successful projects that have been put in place by the city to help with the solution.
That would be lovely. Just let us know, please.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, anything else on the Santa Rita Parks situation? see anybody else, we go to item number 7, which is reports and announcements. Any reports or announcements from the Parks and Recreation Commissioners?
I would like to thank the zoo for putting on the big giant bug display. Good job. It was beautiful. My daughter loved it.
It was really fun to drive to work and see the giant bugs being delivered. It's not every day you see a huge ladybug driving through your parking lot, so that was fun. But I do enjoy it.
Cool space. And I recommend that everybody go. It's awesome.
Thank you, Becky.
Scared a few of the kids when they were making noises.
Did you have anything, Robin?
Did you know?
Oh, just a guess.
Actually, this is a Ward 3 constituent, and I think you got the letters regarding the shade structure in Mansfield Park. I know they will put out what the letter said to me is that the shade structures have been added, but and they were reported a year ago in April, and they're up. But they wanted to know why Ward 3 was paying for those versus Parks and Rec. Does that ring a bell?
I don't. No, it doesn't ring a bell. So we have put up, we reinstalled a shade structure over the playground.
Yes.
So, it's interesting. So the wards, all the wards are allocated a certain amount of discretionary funding, I want to say. But in the end, it doesn't end up coming out of their budget. It's something that we end up absorbing the cost of.
Okay.
It was something that was important for them to see happen. It was not built into the budget for this particular year, but by default of them having that opportunity through that funding allocation, I guess what I would call, it was able to be done.
The other question was a question of diversity training to say, and maybe that can be on the next agenda. A constituent from Ward 3 was asking what training staff are receiving, just with a recognition that there's a lot of new staff. That's always been a for Parks and Rec. I think there was something that was said in the meeting that they found offensive. So I just know what is being done in that area. So
I'm sure we can definitely put something together. And if you'd like, you could even see if the chief equity officer is available to participate in that meeting as well, because she's also working with us.
Yeah. And we've been doing a lot of focus on training for staff, different than we've ever done before, mental health.
You know what? Let's put that on the agenda.
We did some mental health training recently. Not only for them personally, but to recognize when somebody may be in mental health distress. And then we did some de-escalation training with TPD, just trying to recognize, and then also some tips. So definitely some out-of-the-box thinking with training recently.
So what training, and then what training do you see? Is there a shared vision for it would be important to support staff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could be on care to that. Would be great. I think that would answer several areas. And it would be nice to know about, because I did hear about that. So that's about the training.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Robin. Did you have anything else?
It's so good to see you, Steve.
Oh!
I just can't believe it. Yeah. 2 years.
How about Manon or Azul? Do you have anything that you want to report?
Not today, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Manon, did you have anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
I think Azul spoke, but she was muted.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Azul. You're still muted.
Okay, sorry.
We can hear you now.
It mutes me, but I said no. I have nothing to share. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. We just saw your lips moving, and that was all. I just have two questions. You don't have to answer me now, but please get me the information. When I was looking through the capital planning, especially the Ward 6 Park, it talked about Anza Park's new bathrooms and a final project, and then it had a blank. So I don't know what that final project price was. So if you can find that for me and just send it to me by email or something.
Yeah, we like, sometimes we don't get those till like 45 to 60 days after the project closes.
Well, I noticed all the other ones that had that little red asterisk.
Yes.
But I'm out filled in. Yes. So that's,
once we get it, it'll be on that report.
Okay. We'll send to you. And then under, is Sierra still with us?
Yes.
Okay. Sierra, in the marketing report, I noticed under the Parks and Rec Roundup, it said that the, I want to know the difference between a total open and a unique open.
So the total opens is how many people open the email, and that could count people going back and opening the email, but unique would be like they not opened it one time. Does that make sense?
I didn't understand, so try that again.
Yeah, so say there's five of us. We could technically open the email a total of 10 times, like we could keep going back and opening it. But if only four of those people actually open the email, then that would be the unique open. So four people uniquely opened the email, but it got open 10 times. So they opened it.
Okay. Okay. Now I think I understand. Thank you very much. That was all along that I had. Okay. Staff reports.
So other than Missouri Afton, I was just going to let everybody know, tennis contract has been closed, finally. We have the Tucson Tennis Management Team will be taking effect March 1st, and they'll be managing Bethkin and Himmel. They've finalized their agreement, and Intelligence and Excellence in Tennis Management are managing the fourth hole. Tennis Center, which was effective February 1st. So those have been closed, and we do have the one in Fort Lowell is a new contractor, and the one in Redskin is the same Tucson Tennis Center.
Okay.
I guess one quick thing to share is a little bit of a different contract this time around. We actually are charging them a lease payment monthly, and then they were allowed to offer a percentage of their gross revenue that would go into a capital account for that facility. So, for instance, historically in the past, they just paid us 4% and went to the Parks and Rest General Fund. Now, we'll still collect the lease payment, but then the percentage of their gross will go into a separate capital account, which doesn't disappear. So if the gentleman at Fort Lowell raises $5,000 and he wants to put in a new chase structure or something, then we'll have the capital available to do that. So it's a little bit different. There's two different types of payments for them, and so that's how we changed up for that. So I am looking forward to hopefully having that work very well.
All right. Anybody else on the staff have anything before we go to the director?
Just to put it to your calendar, because I don't think I'll see you before then, March 25th is the extravaganza out at Mansfield Park, 10 a.m. start time. So we work with Ward 3 and a couple of local neighbors. So I have that on me. Anybody want to come out? Get trampled by some kids, get some eggs. Let me know, put you on the volunteer. Eggs are a serious business.
That's right. And what time did you say that was?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
It's usually warm by now.
Oh, it's so hot. It's always super windy. Yeah, so get bird and windbird and sun.
Oh, good.
Right. As long as it's not cold.
Any others before we go to our?
I saw a virtual thing. Again.
Yeah, we do both. We do a virtual and in person. You go and you look for eggs in the park.
By yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go
The first time we did it was because of the pandemic, and so families would go out, you have this QR code so you know with your phone, and then you send an entry, and then we do, and we get all the entries, and we pick names, and you get presents. Cool. So you can do both, or one, or the other.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Donnie.
You're welcome.
A few now, Laura.
Just a few. So, actually, this Saturday is the second anniversary celebration of Brightside Rec at Himmel. So that might be a nice event to stop by. You don't have to have kids to enjoy the Ready, Set, Rec equipment. There's a lot of cool things there. So just really trying to focus on that adults can come and play too. And I believe it's 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be at Archer this weekend on Saturday from 11 to 1. Ward 1 has been doing a couple in person, like get to know what's going on in the ward. And they actually have one tomorrow night that was originally going to be on the Alba Torres Plaza, but now they've moved that one. I can't remember the building they're moving to, but for sure, on Saturday at Archer, they'll be there from 11 to 1. I just want to remind everybody that lifeguard recruitment is ongoing, and so we need as much help as possible. Anybody who feels they're a competent swimmer, they can participate in the swim test. Once they pass the swim test, we're actually have changed things this year. We're paying for the certification, and we're paying for people to get certified. So that first 22 hours, which is required for certification, it will be paid for. So, and Sierra is working on getting a mailer out. All of our summer pools, which is the ones that we struggle to get staffing for the most, we're doing the 1 mile mailer. I think I talked about this a few months ago. So it's a 1 mile radius to those pools that historically we've struggled to hire at, so that people can maybe be encouraged by the concept of walking to work for the summer. Let's hope that that works. I mean, that's not the only thing we're doing, but just want to put that out there. We applied in conjunction with Tucson Water's Storm to Shade program and the FEMA Flood Control for an Arizona Forward Award. These are awards that are targeted on how municipalities are being mindful of climate action, conservation, a couple different areas. So we haven't officially been told that we've gotten the award yet, but we've been invited to come up to the dinner in April. And it happens to be for the partnership of Seneca Park and Cherry Ave, where we've merged GSI as a stormwater control within a park setting for the benefit of the community, more than just the, you know, being able to see GSI, but to manage that stormwater. So excited about that. I won't be able to say we definitely won till our May meeting, but I think it's exciting to know that we've been invited to go up for that. And then finally, we've got two pretty senior level positions that we will have filled by mid-March. The first is our aquatic program manager position. We have a gentleman, he's relocating here from Wyoming, and he has been, for 21 years, he was in charge of the swimming program at University of Wyoming, and then most recently with one of the local school districts there in charge of their swim team development. So he'll be moving out here. We're hoping March 13th is the start date. And then we're also hiring a new superintendent over in Parks. So Manny Mendez was with us last year. He moves to TBD. And so instead of filling his exact title, what we decided to do is add a second superintendent. So the gentleman who will be joining us also, hopefully March 13th, is coming to us from AAA. We're excited of having him because he's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of certifications, has had experience with doing staff development within the different tracks that are there for landscape maintenance. So we're excited about those two new hires coming on. So That's all I
have. All right. And I want to give a shout out to Ready, Set, Direct because they did show up for a community event in my neighborhood. That was huge sales. Now I can't remember now. I think it was in the middle of January, and they did a fabulous job.
Awesome.
The gals and the van and all the materials and stuff, they really deserve a pat on the back. Anything else, Farm?
No.
Okay. Then we're on the last item, which is future agenda items. Can anybody think of anything that they would like to have on the agenda for March 22nd or thereafter that we haven't already spoken about?
Good.
Ladies in the room? No?
I think
we have the one.
We have the one. Okay. How about the ladies at home? Do you have anything that you want to add that has not already been spoken about today?
No, it's been a pretty full day. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Azul, and thank you, Manon, for getting here. And so we had a forum. We appreciate that. Again, I'll repeat, the next meeting is on March 22nd, which is the fourth Wednesday. Yes, that's the fourth Wednesday of the month. And we will be here, and we will also be on Microsoft Teams. Unless anybody has any questions, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Apparently nobody's opposed to this. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Absolutely. It wasn't long to see you, so thank you all.
Thank you.